World Football at AFCON with John Bennett.
Hello there. AFCON 2023 is now a week old. It has flown by. We've had nearly everything in 7 days. Great goals, upsets, new stars, a landmark hat-trick, some thrillers. The only thing we haven't had is a 0-0. Still no 0-0. I'm almost starting to miss them. Day 7 was all about another clash of the giants between defending champion Senegal and Cameroon. Senegal won. They're through. Cameroon are in trouble. We'll analyse that game. But Cap Verde stole the headlines. 2 wins out of 2. The first team into the last 16. Who saw that coming? We'll ask how far they can go. And Guinea have their first win of this tournament, taking revenge over the Gambia, who knocked them out 2 years ago. The star player of the World Football at AFCON team is back with us, Gabriel Zakwani, former DR Congo captain. Hi, Gabby.
Hi, John.
So you're our star player, but one of AFCON 2023's star players is Liverpool's Mohamed Salah, and we now know how bad his injury is. So Egypt say he will miss their next 2 games due to a hamstring problem. He suffered that injury against Ghana. Is that better than you expected, Gabby, or worse when you saw him go off injured?
No, it's better than I expected. When you see that kind of injury, muscle injury, it takes a while to really get up to speed. So I think 2 games, they're lucky that it's 2 games. But what they need to do is now pull together and make sure that they get through, you know, so he still has that dream of lifting an AFCON title.
Yeah, exactly. It's not guaranteed that they get 2 more games at this tournament. It's a 24-team format. It means 3 points may be enough to qualify as one of the best-placed third-place teams. They're on 2 points going into the final group game against Cap Verde, so a win would guarantee progress. How much do you think they will miss him? I saw on social media a few people saying that Egypt almost played better without him, which I can't believe.
No, I think it's actually true. You know, they seem to play better about him because I think they're very reliant on him and there's a lot of pressure on him. The opposition's tactics are based around stopping Mohamed Salah. So he may not always have the best game because he may have 2 or 3 players around him every time he touches the ball.
But that frees up room for the others though, doesn't it,
I guess? It does. It does. But I think it's more of a team game when he's not on the pitch, you know, because it, really and truly, if I had him on my team, I'd want to get the ball to him every time I get the ball, you know, yeah. But when he's not on the pitch, you look at other players. Players may be in better areas. So it looked like it worked better without him. But obviously, we know the talent he's got. He can win you a match at any given moment. So you'd rather he was on the pitch.
If you were passing to him, would the passes get to him though, Gabby?
I hope they would. I'll aim it towards him and then just hope for the best.
Injury story is always a big part of any major... I was harsh there, sorry. Injury story is always a big part of any major tournament. Let's hope we haven't seen the last of Mohamed Salah at this year's AFCON. You should see me trying to pass a ball. Right, let's get to today's games. Are Cameroon on the brink of going out of AFCON? They lost 3-1 to defending champion Senegal. Sarr and Diallo made it 2-0. It was very comfortable. Cameroon didn't have an effort on target until the 83rd minute when Castelletto headed in to pull one back. Then it got nervy. Cameroon missed an absolute sitter to make it 2-2. Shortly after that, Sadio Mane sealed the win in stoppage time. I think that late rally from Cameroon, where they almost made it 2-2, that papers over the cracks, doesn't it? Because it seemed to me that Senegal didn't have to get out of first gear.
No, they didn't. It was such an accomplished... It was easy. It seemed easy for them. You know, they played... They played within themselves. And I think with the experience of Senegal, their spine is so strong. They've got good players. Their bench is so strong as well. They've got strength in depth. They look like the most complete team in this tournament, you know, and... I think Cameroon just come up short and they just got beaten by the better team. But that late rally could have earned them something. It could have. But I think Senegal deserved to win from the start.
One shot on target, Cameroon. Although Senegal only had 3 in fairness. The stats don't really sum up how one-sided it felt when you were watching it. Cameroon do have excuses. So no Mbeumo. He's out injured for the whole tournament. No Aboubakar, he's missed the first 2 games, hopefully fit for the third. Surprisingly, Toko Ekambi was dropped to the bench, but I don't think they've got any creativity in that team. And if you think back, Gabby, they only just qualified as well. They had to win the final game. Mm. We always expect Cameroon to deliver when they get to a major tournament. They always seem to get the job done. You think 2017, when they, on paper, had an underwhelming team, but they managed to get the job done. But this time around, I see very little for Cameroon fans to get excited about.
Yeah, I mean, on paper before, they were a big, big team in the African Cup of Nations. I think now they're living off the past a little bit. You know, we still think of Cameroon, they got to be at AFCON. But like you said, the creativity lacked. They were toothless going forward, and they didn't really seem to trouble Senegal at all. And before, these two would be going hammer and tong against each other. But Senegal, so much better. And Cameroon, I mean, the late rally just, it does paper over a lot of cracks, and they weren't good enough. And I think they really got shown today, you know, the levels of the African football.
Just a quick one on Senegal. Is it concerning for them that they nearly threw it away at the end?
No, I think they probably got a little bit complacent, because for me watching it, it seemed very one-sided. It seemed in total control, and it probably a little bit of complacency crept in. But, you know, they got over the line, so it won't really be a matter to be talking about. They to me looked a very good side. And, you know, you can look at it, yes, it was a late rally. It happens in games. Teams do tend to have a period, and I think that was Cameroon's period, but Senegal just had too much for them.
Nice touch during the game. Sadio Mane running straight to hug the Senegal player. Cheku Kouyaté, who recently lost his father, had to leave the camp a few days ago before returning. So that was a nice touch from Sadio Mane. Senegal through to the last 16. In the same group, a match that took a long time to spark to life. Guinea against the Gambia, a repeat of the last 16 match in AFCON 2021. When the Gambia shocked everyone by reaching the last eight. And revenge for Guinea, they won by 1-0. Kamara with the only goal. Your dark horse pick, Guinea, I'm not quite sure what to make of them. They had Serou Guirassy, who was on the bench. He's only just returning to injury, so he's their X-factor player, and he's not fit. But they got the job done, but they don't really excite me at the moment, Guinea. Were you impressed at all by this performance? It seemed quite functional.
Yeah, no, I'm impressed in a different way, John. You know, I tipped Guinea because they were free-flowing. They were outscoring teams during the qualifiers. But now they seem to have added still to their game. So I think when you've got a bit of both and your star player's on the bench, that shows that you can cope without him and you can get the job done. So for me, I think now I'm even more
impressed. Oh, you're even more confident.
Yeah, because I thought, you know, I thought they'll be scoring goals but conceding at the other end. Now they seem to be quite solid. You know, they've got a solid base. They're not conceding many goals now. And I think they've got the organisation side right. So we know when Guirassy is back, again, the goals will come in. He's on the bench ready to come on. And it's good to see that he's on the bench and they still can trust players to get on and get the job done.
Yeah, the Gambia didn't have many chances at all. They had such a good run at the last AFCON, but it has been a letdown that the coach has been hitting back at his critics who have been saying he's too defensive. But yeah, they're really struggling. Two defeats now out of two. So let's get to the day's headline makers. Cap Verde defying the odds yet again. The first team at this tournament to book a place in the last 16. They're only in their fourth Africa Cup of Nations. They've now progressed from the group stages in three of them. Remarkable 3-0 win over Mozambique. And Bebe, yes, former Manchester United forward, scored a 40-yard free kick. Captain Ryan Mendes scoring as well. The best goal was from Kevin Pina, who hammered the ball in, contender for goal of the tournament. Cap Verde are looking like a really strong team.
They are. They've gone under the radar a little bit because I don't think anyone saw this coming. And they're putting in some accomplished performances and they're getting the job done, but they're doing it in style as well. So they've got to be one to watch. Them getting through this early, I think, is going to, you know, shake things up a little bit because you've got to take them seriously now.
It's no fluke, is it? These wins are no fluke.
They are no fluke.
Seriously good performances.
Yeah, I know Mozambique, you'll see them as, you know, someone who you should beat, but it's the way they're beating them. They're giving them absolutely no chance and winning convincingly, outplaying them. Mozambique ain't really no walkover, and we've seen that, you know. So for them to go there and put that sort of performance is unbelievable.
73rd in the World Cup, Verde. It's a nation of 10 islands, less than 600,000 the population. It's the first time they've scored more than two goals in a single game at AFCON. I remember AFCON 2013, Gabby, their coach was an air traffic controller. But he's gone now. It's Bubista who is the coach, doing a great job. And I love the Bebe story. I think Manchester United fans across the world were tuning in to AFCON thinking, is that the same guy who played for us? 7 appearances and 2 goals in 4 years at Manchester United. Became a bit of a figure of fun, but he went on to have actually a decent career. Rayo Vallecano is where he's been doing the best, and he made his Cap Verde debut in 2022 after switching allegiance from Portugal. It's another AFCON redemption story, isn't it? I really love stories like that. Great
it
goal.
Is. I mean, it, what a goal it was. Yeah,
oh, the
was.
Keeper was slightly at fault.
I mean, you don't get an AFCON where there's no goalkeeping errors. You know? But no, it's a redemption for him. And I think it was good. Because even me, I had to, you know, look twice a bit. Oh, yeah, that is Bebe, you know. So, but no, it was brilliant for Cape Verde. You know, they done a great job today. And for me, you've got to now watch out for them because they're putting in some very accomplished performances.
A bit of news from AFCON. Tanzania have suspended their manager, Adel Amrouche, after he was given an 8-match ban by the Confederation of African Football. The sanction imposed after officials from the Royal Moroccan Football Federation contacted CAF to complain about remarks made by Amrouche about Morocco and their influence. He said, he alleged on CAF. So he has been suspended for 8 matches and he won't be in charge of any more games at this AFCON. So to the games on day 8. Pressure on Tunisia in Group E. They suffered the shock of the tournament. They lost to Namibia. They now face a very highly rated Mali side who beat South Africa by 2-0. Tunisia was so poor against Namibia. It's a set of players who, there's been a bit of change in the squad, but they qualify for the last World Cup. Surely they can't be as bad again. Then you've got Mali, who had a bizarre performance against South Africa. They were poor first half, could have been at least 2-0 down. Percy Tau missed a penalty for South Africa. Difficult to know how this one goes, but I'm making Mali favourites for this one.
No, I think I go the other way again, and I'm not doing it on purpose, John. I mean, if you look at Tunisia...
But what evidence? Tunisia were awful.
Yeah, but they're just one of them that do get the job done in the end, you know? And Tunisia have a way of playing where they're so organised and they're efficient. They get the results. And I just think they can't be any worse. It was a wake-up call for them. And for me, I think tomorrow we'll see the proper Tunisia. I liked Mali, but... They should have been 2 or 3 down, I think, in the first half, you know. But they showed a change. Obviously, whatever happened at halftime sparked something. But I don't think you can get that opportunity once Tunisia go ahead. I think they're strong enough to hold out.
Yeah, there's questions about Yves Bissouma, whether he's fully fit. He had to come off after an hour, which was strange to see him sub that early. In Group D, all eyes on Algeria. Since winning the trophy in 2019, they haven't won an AFCON game. 4 matches without a win now at AFCON. I remember talking to you after that game against Angola, 1-1 draw, after they'd made a good start. They look nervy. They've got a lot to prove, haven't they, against Burkina Faso. I'm really looking forward to seeing how they react.
No, they are. And that is not an easy game, by the way. You know, Burkina Faso, they're looking like a strong side now. They win, they're through as well. So it's a game in the balance, that one. And Algeria look very nervy. They're not sure about themselves at the moment. And wow, that game there, I'm really, really looking forward to that one because I can't call that one.
Yeah, Burkina Faso, they always seem to be able to deliver when it matters. I really like the look of them at AFCON. They have something about them. And yeah, I think they're going to test Algeria. The coach gets very agitated on the side, doesn't he, Jamel Belmadi? Do you think that's a negative influence on the players sometimes?
Sometimes it could be, but sometimes... He's there getting agitated. He's kicking every ball, heading every ball, complaining about every decision. And it's good sometimes to see a manager like that. You know, he's part of the group. You know, he's
passionate.
Does
it not make the players edgy? I'm being a complete hypocrite because I've always highly rated Jamel Belmadi. I think he's a fantastic manager. But I just think sometimes it's a bit too much on the touchline.
It is at times, but I think they're used to him. You know, so they see him day in, day out. So they understand him. They know what he's like. He's not a complete stranger going crazy on the sideline. He's with them day in, day out, and he trusts them.
Gabby, thank you so much for that. Let's see how those games go. Yeah, pressure on Algeria, pressure on Tunisia. That is all we've got time for on World Football at AFCON. Remember, we do these shows after every match day. So stay up to date with the Cup of Nations, with us. It's been great fun so far. As I said, no 0-0 draws. Speak to you soon.
World Football at AFCON is a BBC Sport production from the BBC World Service.